This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Grab Stugatz's phone before he could delete any more items so we could just read his texts to Greeny. Because I want to know everything that was said there before he can edit and delete stuff.
I deleted nothing. I did a full wipe down of the phone for Mike Ryan during the commercial break so he could do this. I tested negative for COVID 2 days ago, twice in 7 days, by the way. But I did that anyway for Mike because I love him.
All right, so hand him the phone. Yeah. You didn't put on a mask for him because you love talking. Him. You just used your You used your mask as a napkin on your beard to get some schmutz out of your beard.
Everyone's done it. I mean, come on.
Okay, everyone's done what? What are you talking about?
Everyone has used the mask, okay, to get a little schmutz out of the beard. They've also used it as a napkin occasionally.
All right, put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Has everyone used the mask as a napkin? Christine Lisi, please continue.
And finally, the CIA spent $20 million over 5 years attempting to train cats as spies in the 1960s. They were unsuccessful. How about that?
Yeah.
Shocking.
Seems like a giant waste of time. 786-456-4837. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Can you teach a cat anything? Guillermo has a question for Ron McGill. Mike Ryan is also gathering questions, but he's looking through Stugatz's phone. Are you ready to do that now, Mike, or do you want to wait and sprinkle it in among calls, or how do you want to do this?
Well, I'm sad to report this relationship looks a little one-sided from the tweets that I'm reading.
He won't leave me alone.
From the text. Yeah, there's a lot of texts right now from Stugatz that are going unresponded. Yeah.
Is that right? What do you have for us there?
Well, I can back up. The most recent text from Stugatz to Greeny was Urban Meyer's going to Michigan, watch. However, the one right before that is Robert Saleh's going to Michigan, watch.
I did it.
Yeah. And then there's like weird spur of the moment Jets takes, like Trevor Lawrence doesn't want to play for us. Le'Veon Bell should be ashamed of himself. And then Adam Gase is going to Michigan. You watch.
I did. I sent him that one.
Then there's another time. I don't know what this is about. Just simply you up. And a couple of weeks before that, I guess he went a while without texting him, is Rach got into Northwestern. Can't wait to discuss. Okay, so that's. But again, I'm going from latest to earliest.
Mm-hmm.
The one before that is I think Rach may get into Northwestern. And the one before that is, can you help my daughter get into Northwestern? And the one before that is, Jason Garrett is going to Michigan, watch.
786-456-4837 is the telephone number if you want to talk to Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. It's weird. Such a weird relationship that you have. Billy, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Ron, they recently found two new species of mammals in Australia through DNA testing. I'm wondering how many animals could there be out there that we don't realize are different because we just think that they look like animals we already know of?
Well, anybody who's worked in zoology, you look at animals and think they look exactly alike, and they're actually different species, and that is something that, of course, we determine through DNA. I think there are many, many animals. I mean, not the huge megavertebrates. You're not going to find, you know, a different species of elephant or a different species of huge antelope, but there are some smaller primates. There are some smaller, herbivores that can certainly be described as new species once they're found. There are places that, believe it or not, we haven't really gotten into. So I think, you know, when it comes to those animals, you're still going to see it. When it comes to plants and insects, thousands, if not millions, of new species still exist out there.
Greg, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Hey, Ron. In my yard, I don't know whether this is unique to me or not, but a large curly-tailed lizard seemed to be eating or otherwise driving away my beloved little brown anoles. Is that a common thing in the lizard world?
Yeah, unfortunately, curly tails, and now down here in South Florida, we also have these huge agamids, these yellow-headed agamids that come from Tanzania. They'll also eat the anoles. It's anoles, by the way, not anoles. But
I was thinking of cannoli, the food.
Yeah, well, not to know. And they do eat those animals, so that's, you know, these are certain to become an invasive species. But the ironic thing is that most of the brown anoles that we see are also introduced species. So they're not native species. The only two native lizard that we have down here that you don't see very commonly anymore are the really bright green ones, the smaller ones, not the big Cuban anoles, the also called the night anoles, but the small bright green ones. Those are the only native lizards still found here in South Florida. Everything else has been introduced. There are more non-native reptiles in Florida than there are native ones.
Are those endangered in any way, like because they're getting eaten by all the invasive species?
No, you know, we are seeing, I'm actually seeing more of the green native ones. So I don't know if they've adapted in a way that they're avoiding being predated on, but I'm seeing a few more of those than I've seen in previous years. As far as the brown ones go, what I'm noticing is that, yeah, I'm seeing less of the brown ones and more of the bigger ones, but I think those brown ones are so numerous that it'd take a long time, if ever, that any predator would take them out.
Roy, do you have something for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Yeah, Ron, in Alaska, as a plane was descending onto a runway, the plane actually hit a bear. How often do animals actually interact with humans in that sort of way in Alaska?
Quite a bit. I mean, you know, Alaska is the last frontier of the United States, and so to speak. So many beautiful undeveloped acres out there, so much wilderness and wildlife out there. Bears are an ongoing issue. I mean, the Alaskan people have learned to live with bears very well. Obviously, didn't work so well on that case. But the fact of the matter is, wildlife interacts not just in Alaska. I mean, you know, Dan's been to Africa. I know when they fly these small planes onto the runways in Africa, they have to have a truck below first to chase off the zebra and the hoofstock and other animals that are on the runway. So these types of conflicts do occur, and, you know, other areas have learned to mitigate them. Obviously, they didn't do a very good job with this particular bear, but animals in Alaska and people interact all the time. I mean, there are reality shows on it. If you go on Discovery Network, on Animal Planet, you'll see reality shows, you know, living in Alaska with bears, the bear challenge. I mean, so it's an ongoing issue. They just learned to live with it.
Ron, I've noticed you're Good Morning America's animal expert, as you are ours, and they have this spectacular video that you chimed in on. A pack of orcas attacking a mega yacht for two solid hours. The Coast Guard said, turn off your motors, lower your sails. Apparently, this is a common thing now. It's fairly recent orca behavior off the coast of Portugal. What's your best guess as to why this is happening so often?
Well, I'll tell you what it is. My guess is it's the same pod of orcas, and these guys have turned into about a little rogue group of orcas. I think they were more playing than actually attacking the boat. I have been fortunate to see orcas in the wild, and when they go to attack and they go to kill, you know, just with their fluke, they'll send a 200-pound sea lion 100 yards in the air just from the power of their fluke. So if they really wanted to destroy a boat, they would destroy the boat. I think they're looking at it as a toy. They're a little bit of a rogue animal. Listen, when you get animals that are that intelligent, which they are so intelligent, orcas, as most marine mammals are, you get the same thing that you get in people, Mike. You get animals that are good animals, very good. They abide by the rules. They behave themselves. And then you get these, you know, these abnormalities, these rogues, these gangsters, so to speak. It happens in elephants a lot, where young males, they create their little offshoot groups on their own. They turn into like little gang members, and they start, you know, doing things that they shouldn't be doing in elephant society, and it's not until they're disciplined by other elephants that they stop. My guess is that these orcas, the same orcas, and they've picked up this behavior, and they're doing this kind of playing with these boats. It could also be that, listen, maybe one of them got hit by a boat, and they look at a boat as a threat, and now they're being offensive rather than wait to be on the defense. Anytime they see a boat, they want to get it away. You know, they want to take out that threat. So they're very intelligent animals. This is not an orca behavior. I have actually been swimming in the water with orcas in the wild, in the Galapagos Islands. I didn't mean to do it. I was there photographing sea turtles, and all of a sudden there's a big shadow comes over me, and it's a flipping orca swimming over my head. And I got to admit it. First, yep. Why'd you say that like that?
No, just because you've been in every situation. Yes. He's just marveling at it.
No, I haven't been in every situation, but I was in that situation. And, you know, I got to tell you, initially I panicked. I went, oh, God, he's going to eat me because he's going to think I'm a seal. And you know what? He slowed down. He looked at me, and he just kept on swimming. And reaffirmed to me that, you know, these animals are not bad animals. They're not out to kill people. You have this rogue group of killer whales that I think, like I say, they're like a gang. They've kind of established a gang-like behavior. And until either they're disciplined by other whales or they just get tired of playing the game, that's probably going to go on. It's happening at the same area all the time. You don't hear about killer whales doing that anywhere else in the world, even though there are pelagic species found all over the world.
Let's do some play-by-play here. I'm sorry I didn't get to any of your calls because the shipping container just hogged all of Ron McGill's time. Let's go ahead and do a play-by-play here of a video. What do you have?
Oh, yeah. This is the video I've been talking about on the morning shows. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
I've got a big alligator, an alligator on the golf course, on the tee. You notice that it's raining. It's high walking. That's what makes this so impressive, because you have an animal that's probably close to a couple hundred pounds, and it's easy to get up. Try to imagine yourself doing a push-up and walking that way as easy as that gator's doing. This thing was blown way out of proportion. People go, oh, my God, Godzilla, 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 you know, monster on the golf course. That's not the case here, guys. Golf courses are full of water hazards. Anybody who's played golf in Florida knows that alligators are common on all the golf courses in Florida. You leave them alone, they're going to leave you alone. This gator took advantage of the fact that it was raining, the sun wasn't too hot, nobody's playing golf because it's raining, so he's going to go from one water hazard to the other. But the media kind of blew this out of proportion and made it into this big monster. Oh my God, everybody lock your children, stay in your house because this thing's going to eat you. That's not the case, guys. Alligators do not want anything to do with people. He was moseying along. You notice as the golf cart gets closer to him, he goes a little faster. He just wants to get to the water. Leave wildlife alone and it will leave you alone.
All right, Ron, settle down. It's a giant. It's a giant alligator. Thank you for being on with us. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
See you, Ron.
Don Lebatard.
Will you sometimes call your childhood telephone number?
We all do.
We all do?
Thank you. Yeah, I think Greg was saying he does
Greg,
it as well.
Feel free to speak into the microphone instead of that thermos you're drinking out of.
Right.
Because you're on the radio.
We all do.
Stugatz.
All right, I changed my mind. Do the rest of the show.
Yeah, it enhances you.
Do your whole show
into
the metal
thermos. You never know.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at Progressive.com. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Conversational time as well.
I'm going to give you some Straight Talk in a second. It's going to be straight. It's not going to be crooked at all. It's going to be about the way the NBA has changed with trades over the last 10 years. And that talk will be straight.
All right.
But before we do that, our old friend Pat Sajak, he hasn't been on in a while. He is his charming self on South Beach Sessions today. That just came out a little while ago, so you could check out Pat Sajak there. We covered a lot of ground. But I wanted to marvel, Stugatz, at the last decade of basketball, because LeBron James did a television show, and it was very controversial. And basically, over the last 10 years, he's turned into America's biggest athlete, the modern-day Michael Jordan, and turned even the worldwide leader in sports largely into an infomercial for all the things LeBron James, where we just cover him nonstop as part of our partnership with the NBA. And over that time, what has changed is somebody like James Harden wants out of Houston and wants to go to Brooklyn. That's where he's going to end up. It's not like one of these guys, these stars, even though they're under contract, says they want to go somewhere and they end up somewhere else. Like,
right.
they tend to get what they want, and James Harden is turning down $50 million a year in Houston.
100 over 2 years. I think he does that because he knows he can get to Brooklyn if he wants, right?
Well, I think that all of these guys, what's happened over the last 10 years, and part of the recoil on what happened with LeBron James 10 years ago on that TV show is, we were made uncomfortable by the amount of power these players were taking for themselves. Never mind the draft, meant to sort of, not even sort of, meant to lock them into a place where they have to play in a city, even though anyone with that kind of talent level coming out of college would want the freedom to play in a free commercial marketplace wherever they want. Nope, you got to go to Cleveland. That's where you got to play. And they get locked in. And then all the rules were made to protect those smaller markets. So God, the joy and the success of the NFL is that it's all weird and any of the teams can win and you don't understand who is better than whom. And it's all parody all over the place. Basketball tried to make the rules so that Shaq would have to stay in Orlando. No, wants to go to L.A. LeBron wants to go to L.A. And that guy's never choosing Oklahoma City.
Right.
That guy's never choosing Sacramento.
Now you get them for a window, that rookie window, and you have to do the best you can in order to try to keep them, right? And that's the deal. That's what you have.
But
you have like 5 years.
What I have seen, though, over the last 10 years is now, because LeBron James changed so much about not just player empowerment, but also you'll recall the reason that that ridiculous parade that was so much fun for Miami ended up bothering people so much, they will say, it's about, well, what are you doing? Celebrating before you've done anything. But really what was happening there is America was all sorts of mad because, oh, wait, they've got the team that nobody can beat. They've got, and it turns out that it was much harder than we thought. But when they were printing around on stage, one of the reason there was a recoil is because, wait, they broke the system. That's not fair. And now here we are 10 years later, and the mutated form of that you get is Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and James Harden. A weird combination of players yeah. that none of us know how that's going to work. I mean, Kevin Durant is coming off of an injury. Kyrie Irving, somehow the Boston Celtics were worse with him. And now here comes James Harden to the mix. And my question to you is, people argue today, and I would argue, just give me more talent. Let me take my chance. I'm going to be wrong sometimes. I'm going to be wrong when I've got Shaq, Kobe, Karl Malone, and Gary Payton. I'm going to be wrong on occasion when it's Dwight Howard, Steve Nash, and Kobe Bryant. But I always want all the talent you can give me. And so the question I want to ask you, if these people, and there are many, out there saying this is going to be a disaster, this is going to be a train wreck. If you put these three players together, if this happens and James Harden gets there, they're going to be not just an unlikable team, a team that's rooted against, but the parts won't work. And my question to you after that is this. Would you want it to be your team?
I mean, I'm a Knicks fan.
No, but all of you listening to this, all of you listening to this, yes or no, I'm telling you, you can have those three guys, yes or no, you want it for your team, because there's so many people out there I hear saying that that can't work, it won't work, it's stupid, and I think most of the teams in the league would say, yes, please give me those three guys.
If you had Steve Kerr in a moment of honesty, it's just you and him talking, you think he'd trade his three for those three? Because that's it. That's the standard right there, right?
Like, I don't know. I mean, Steph must love, like, how these people are cannibalizing each other trying to beat him. I mean, he stole the great Durant years.
If you ask Rob Pelinka, hey, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, or you can have those three, you think he chooses LeBron and Anthony Davis? I would like to have it for my team. I think it's going to be a headache. I have no idea if it's going to work, but you can only play five at a time, and three of your five are Kevin Durant, James Harden, and
Kyrie
Irving.
You're not going to get a lot of defense right there. Cody, what are your thoughts there?
I trust that talent to make it work, and I don't think it even matters so much who the coach is. We saw it in the big three era in Miami when, you know, for the first part of the first season, it didn't look like it was working. We didn't see a lot of chemistry, but they made it work. The sheer talent of the combination made it work. And I'm fascinated by, it's not quite anarchy, but these players are making it happen through back channels. They're assembling these teams through non-traditional means. They're talking with each other unofficially. It used to be called tampering. But now it's just happening because you have to assume James Harden wants the Nets because the other two stars on that team want him. You know, they're not relying on general managers to broker these deals anymore. They're doing it themselves.
They've taken the power for themselves, and it's a lot of fun. Bill Lawrence joins us next.
Don Levitard.
I don't want your beak leaning over the plate.
Stugatz.
Step back, Jack.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Wichita State University has accepted the resignation of head basketball coach Greg Marshall. Marshall's resignation came after an internal investigation into allegations that he physically assaulted and directed racist insults towards its players. As part of Marshall's resignation, the university has agreed to a contract settlement for $7.75 million to be paid out over a period.
Are you kidding?
Incredible. A period of 6 years.
Breaking news is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
So correct me if I'm wrong. They just gave him $750,000 in order to racially slur his players and hit one of them.
Per year over the next 6 or 7 years, Marshall is alleged to have punched a player, body slammed another player, and made fun of a third athlete's Native American heritage.
All right. Yeah. Excellent work from him and from college.
Made a Final Four, too.
College sports in general. Yes, it bought him quite a bit, evidently, including a great salary, a millionaire's salary for the next few years. Also, by the way, as they change all the rules in football to protect the quarterback, Nick Foles, hip pointer, Drew Brees, fractured ribs and punctured lung. Drew Locke, also fractured ribs as well.
I must correct you. I believe it's only collapsed, that lung of Drew Brees.
Okay, thank you for the correction. I appreciate it. Merely.
Now, it might have collapsed because it was punctured.
Merely collapsed, not punctured. A good correction.
I mean, he's 40-something. I'm 40-something. You're 50-something. Can you imagine experiencing fractured ribs and a collapsed lung?
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. What feels worse, a collapsed lung or a punctured lung? We'll find Bill Lawrence in a second, but first, give Christine Lisi her kazoos.
And finally, Prince Charles has been in line to the throne since 1952. That is 68 years and counting, which is what being in the AFC East with the Patriots feels like.
Whoa, there it is. A little Bills humor and Jets humor and Dolphins humor. So we've been telling you about the show Ted Lasso, and we've been telling you as well that co-creator of Scrubs, Bill Lawrence, is somebody that we enjoy talking to, and not just because he's a fan of our silliness, but mostly because of that. So finally, we can get to, finally, Bill, thank you. There's a plane crash story here involving you. You survived a plane crash. What the hell happened? Thank you for joining us, by the way.
Oh, of course. We were landing, and we hit a bear. It was weird because it was in New York City. No, the
you hit a bear, so you're in a what kind? First of all, tell us what kind of plane you're on. How many people are on the plane?
Yeah, man, I was on a it stunk. I was on a tiny seaplane. I was in the East River. I was heading out to parts of Long Island. There's about 8 or 9 people on it, including my daughter, which is why it stunk. And we took off, and you know, he did not have enough power to take off. Got very high, and then just crashed back into the water, and that pontoon and stuff came off, you know, shot off the boat, and water came in, you know, off the plane. Very scary. My biggest memory about it is how I'm still traumatized flying tiny planes or flying in anything. And my daughter not only was not traumatized, she was doing social media with her life preserver on, sitting on the pontoon in the East River.
How long was the terror? How long did the terror last for? I mean, that's horrifying. Yeah,
that flight was a duration of about 3.5 minutes, because we took off, and then you could, as we got higher into the air, you know, a couple hundred feet, you could feel it was not going well, and then we just went right back down into the water, and that was it.
Okay, and so is it a surprise that you survived it, or because
you know what? I feel like it was probably scarier for it made the news and stuff, and you know, because it was scary enough, somebody had video of it or something. But the fact that that thing had you know, got to land back in the water was probably meant that we were going to be. The scariest part was hitting the water and those things that hold those boats up, one of them being gone and water kind of rushing in and getting over your, you know, having to get out of the plane really quick before it was underwater.
Hold on a second. Greg, why are you not better at the computer? Like, why can't you just mute yourself? Why do you just cough off the microphone,
Greg,
there? Is there any particular reason that you can't help us while he's telling that story by not coughing into your microphone?
I apologize for that. I really do, to everyone involved. But I have a question, and this is serious. Was there a moment, even a split second, on descent that you feared for your life, that you said to your daughter, I love you, and held her hand? I mean, how does that work? We've never been involved in this like you have.
I don't like to think about it. I was terrified for my kid, yeah. And I did the whole, you're going to be okay, get out as soon as we hit, all that stuff, which is spooky. And it's only funny now because the next day, you know, they said, hey, we get you on a different plane. I said, I'm going to pass. And the next day we flew out to be with the rest of our family, and I reached forward to her to make sure she was, you know, okay, feeling like she'd be as nervous as I was, and she was asleep, face pressed against the glass.
Kids are funny that way. Did you rip anyone afterwards? Did you? You had to rip someone, right?
Yeah,
did I have to? You know what? The weirdest thing about that experience for me was, look, you guys have had plenty of writers on there. I'm a TV writer. I'm not a famous person, but I was the most famous person on that plane. So the weird vibe of Bill Lawrence and eight others, you know, in plane crash, I didn't understand that at all, you know. And so it was I gave a little crap out to all the people that thought that was a story, you know, as if people were clamoring to hear what happened to Bill Lawrence in a plane.
I would imagine, given the specifics of those details, that the Kobe thing must have been something that hit particularly close to the bone for you.
Yeah, being in L.A., I'm a huge sports fan, and being in L.A. anyways, it really spooked me. And my boys are... You know, my boys have shamefully grown up Laker fans because that's where we are. It was heavy. I mean, it's not as I've transitioned now to the abject terror that James Harden's going to go to my beloved 76ers because it's not going to make me happy if that ever happened. But it looks like he's going to be on the Nets. So.
Wow. So you don't want James Harden. You don't want the talent to change on the 76ers.
I like, you know, I'm a Philly teams fan except for the Miami Dolphins because it's painful and it's where my whole family's from. First team I saw play first. But it's he's a hard dude to root for, man. And even with all the problems, you know, Embiid and Simmons are easy guys to root for on some level. So I don't know. I mean, I might, as soon as they win four of their first five, if they was over there, I'd probably change my tune. But it's nice to...
four to five championships, you mean.
That's what you're missing, Dan. It's nice to have principles at the start.
Yes. The first season of Ted Lasso, it's available now, Apple TV+. The show's been renewed, seasons 2 and 3. Mike Ryan is swooning because he thinks that this is a message that's important, especially in 2020, of positivity. And a lot of people are talking... in ways that give this show a lot of high praise. Ted Lasso, Apple TV+. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate the storytelling.
Anytime, man. And congratulations on the new studio and the big move. I really
thank you very much. Appreciate it. ESPN+.
Don Lebatard.
Jordy Nelson had a goose egg. Unbelievable. What are the odds? Money in the bank, that guy normally. Best Nelson since Ricky Nelson in the 60s.
Stugatz.
Hands up if you remember Ozzy and Harriet. Put them up.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Time to see who got it done. Brought to you by Grainger. Oh, boy. In an international friendly, the United States defeated Panama 6-2 as Giovanni Reyna. Nicholas... Reyna, man, I thought I had it. That's the easy one. Nicholas Gocchini. Get that right, Mike?
Just keep going, man.
And Sebastian Soto all scored their first international goals. Panama got off to an early lead in the 8th minute thanks to a goal from Jose Fajardo. I'm guessing. Before the States level, the score when... Reyna scored with...
Reyna, we just went over this.
Thank you. In the 18th minute. Gotchium then scored in the 22nd minute to give the Stars and Stripes a lead. It would never relinquish. The United States men's national team, leave me the hell alone. Getting it done with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is always there to help. Call, click Grainger.com/safety or just stop by. Sabotage. I mean, seriously.
I mean, relinquish is something that...
listen, if you read all those names, though, historically, Mike knows all the words that I struggle with. So does Roy, okay? And they are most words, okay?
Yeah. Relinquish is a big one, though.
That's a tough one for me. But after reading all those names, I was defeated. Yeah. I was sorry. There was no chance of that coming out correctly. Relinquish, and they knew it, yeah.
Breakfast.
You really do struggle with relinquished. I don't want to go to you doing more reading, but go ahead and update the polls. At Lebatard Show really? Is where they get updated.
The Twitter poll at Lebatard Show is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
Is it a stretch to say Greg Cody was raised by brown anole lizards?
Anole.
Anole.
Oh, God. Did Rob McGill correct us on that?
He did.
Because Greg was calling him a Noli, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah,
I was totally wrong.
Thanks. So was I.
For the entire back in my day. These are my Tuesdays, people. These are my Tuesdays.
I mean, come on, that soccer story? I mean, what are we doing around here? 72% of the audience said no. It's not a stretch. Can Mike Tomlin tell a joke? 80% of the audience said no. Can Mike Tomlin laugh at a joke? There are no options. That means he can't.
That's right.
Okay. Has everyone used their mask as a napkin? I have. I've used it twice today. Here, we have 64% of the audience lying and saying no, 35% telling the truth and saying yes. We've all done it. Everyone has done it. Everyone on the show has done it. I've seen you do it. What feels worse, a collapsed lung or a punctured lung?
It's a good question, an important question.
It is. 50.5% of the audience said a collapsed lung.
The word punctured, though, seems a puncture seems worse than a collapse.
No, a collapse seems way worse than a puncture. A puncture is a little hole. A collapse feels like the whole thing just stops.
Right. I understand what you're saying there, but a puncture as it relates to the lung is not just a little hole. Now it's a hole in your lung.
That's a good point.
I understand the collapse is also problematic. I'm not disputing that. It's the word punctured that frightens me.
How do you treat a collapsed lung? Because if it's punctured, you think it has a hole in it, so you can't just like reinflate it like a balloon, right? But I think if a lung collapses, just blow air into it and it'll fill back up, right? I mean, I'm not a doctor.
You don't say. So, not like McGill, right? You're not a doctor like Ron McGill. Cody, so we're trying to protect these quarterbacks because it's important that they stay healthy. And you get hit pointer Nick Foles last night. And now you got a couple of quarterbacks with broken ribs, and also as an added bonus, Drew Brees has a collapsed lung. The hell, man!
The quarterbacks were a big part of why I went 11-3 against the spread last week. So I love my quarterbacks, but they've done plenty. You know, the rib thing, you have to wear that armor. The quarterback should be wearing the rib protectors, and obviously in these cases, doesn't seem like they must have been.
Are you kidding me? Where you just used that question that I posed to you to tell us as if we didn't know that you went 11-3 last week? Because
I don't think you did know.
But what are you doing? What are you doing to our radio show? Answer my question.
I did answer your question.
You just heard the Don Lebatar show on ESPN Radio.
All right, bye.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.